So, this is Gabrielle at Brenna's office.
Hi, Gabrielle.
And thank you. Huge applause, and thank you to Brenna. She's one of the most magnificent healers I know. And what I love about you that inspires me and brings me here, really, is the breadth of which you carry your work. Mm-hmm. You know, like the body and yoga and movement, but not just yoga and movement, the organs and the systems and the understanding, you know, the energy and chiropractic work, but as it is such a specific spirited form of chiropractic work in the energy medicine that you do, and everything you do, you live. And so I just trust you and believe in you, and I know that your work is ongoing, you know, and I really respect what you bring to your work, so thank you for having me here.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. So maybe a couple people, what you're hoping for by being here, what like got you here, and what it's like, this is my burning question of the day or night, or anybody in particular want to just jump in with one?
What led you into what you do?
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So much. I would say, you know, I felt led, you know, you could go back in my childhood, you know, after the fact, hindsight, what I was doing, you would, if you peered back in my childhood, you'd be like, well, of course she went that direction. You know, I was that kid that, like, I could find the little Native American doll in the back of a store that had nothing in there that looked at all, you know, anything but sort of white in its own way. I would find the thing that was different. I would stop, you know. Even when I was little, I would stop because someone was crying, and I would be the kid to stop in the grocery store and be like, you know, I just stare at you. I didn't necessarily do anything nice. But I knew something. But I was bold enough to stop and be like, Mom, someone's crying, you know? And she'd be like, come on, you know? And I was like, I'd be that kid a lot. And so, it's, you know, animals are always, you know, I felt like I was talking to animals from the time I was tiny, but would never tell anyone that. Like, my culture and my family was not to do these things. And I was incredibly, if the anything you noticed, it was like incredibly oversensitive, therefore hyper. You'll see that I'm fidgety. I don't mind being fidgety. It means a lot to me now in terms of what, if I'm processing a lot, I move a lot. You know, I might talk fast. I might have these idiosyncrasies, right? So like you can look back and say that all of that drove me to social work. So I went straight head on, got a like double major degree in like 3 years because I couldn't wait to start working, you know, and got myself into the field of social work, started working with runaway adolescents and working in like the most intensive crisis-oriented settings I could find at that time. And then I became an acting director of an organization that worked with children who were placed in these very intensive foster cares. And you, my magic was my magic then. It still kind of is in my own way. Often people would say, I don't know what, how, like you just said the right thing and then everything changed, you know, or like, how did you feel that? And I didn't know that as intuition at the time. I didn't know that as being empathic. I just thought I was lucky. I honestly thought, well, you know, I get lucky and every once in a while I say something. It just happened to happen a lot, you know, and could help people find their way in ways that didn't, they weren't logical, you know? So I tend to be the not so logical, very intuitive, bring you to tears, because I say something that hit that chord, right? So that was in there even in my social work degree. But boy, if you had told me I was intuitive as psychic, I would have just said, sorry, like out, I'm out, don't talk to me again. Because it scared me. And it took me a lot of time. It wasn't until I had my child. And he was really the beginning of my life change because this, you know, child, I just like birthed this child. And I looked down and I was like, oh, you know, oh my God, you know, like this, like a little creature from God and whatever I thought God was and all the things I've done to be spiritual. I don't know what I'm talking about. This is like, this, I'm in over my head. I should run away now. I'm going to fail. This is really hard. But I saw something and I felt something that like pushed me into being like, okay, there's got to be a way to keep this pristine, beautiful energy alive in a human being and protect it. And so, you know, that was the beginning of kind of opening doors in my mind to like, what else do we need? And I spent a decade after that developing a nonprofit organization for women and mothers where we would come together for wisdom circles. And really the work was about pausing and feeling. And the bigger part of the work was about sharing the horrible nightmare of a reality that we were all living in, even as we were in love and moved by our children, but the confusion. So we came together and we'd say, okay, let's share the parts that are really hard and pause, you know, and not give advice and just feel. And what would happen in that space of feeling is we would open all kinds of wisdom and intuition and, like, mind-blowing. Somewhere in the context of all that, through all my own traumas that were still happening, I could tell you lots of stories, I smashed head-on with cancer. And so at 35, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I thought I was going to die. And my child was 5. And that was like a real, I would say, is anybody really opposed to me swearing? Because they tend to come out. Okay. That was a real sugar get off the put moment. It was like, I definitely felt like I hit a wall that nothing I knew worked. Nothing. I could wisdom myself to know tomorrow, but there wasn't wisdom coming. I didn't understand it. I was traumatized beyond trauma. I hit an understanding of a new level of what trauma really means. I started to see all the SIDS systems and grids and structures of oppression that were operating in the way the hospitals worked. And, you know, people would say things to me like, oh, it's okay because cancer is such a blessing. You know, you're going to learn so much, which is like, maybe, you know, and I remember going home and being like, fuck, I'm going to die. Like, why are you telling me this is a blessing? You know, I didn't get it. And I was like, this new age shit is through the roof. And if I thought I was going in that direction, I should cut the cord because I can't stomach this. And it feels like, so where am I? Like, what am I doing? Life is real. I'm hit hard. I don't know how to wake up every day and not cry. And I have to take care of a kid. And I'm a single parent. And, you know, any relationship I had been in around me at the time was just so freaking abusive. I was like out of my skin, you know, uncomfortable. And you wouldn't have known that on a lot of levels if you saw me walking around. You'd say, what a nice person. She looks so put together. You know, I was a nightmare in my own little world. And it was really the precipice that made me ask the questions. It's like, there's got to be more. Like, it can't be. First of all, it can't be that just because I'm empathic and sensitive and I have these gifts that I'm, like, if I use them, I'll implode or I'll take on I sponged everybody's everything. I was constantly processing everybody's pain. I was feeling everything of everybody, you know. It was, like, the first time in my life where I was like, I can't do that anymore. And I'm dying, you know. I'm like, what am I going to do? So these were big questions. I really it was the first time that I felt like I hit, like, a real awakening inside myself that was like, wait, okay, there's a whole body. And yes, it's at risk and it could die and it's unsafe and it does these funky things. And okay, I admit it, I'm psychic and what am I going to do with it? And no, I don't want to flip a switch and sit up on a mountain and talk about things and not be in reality. I want a body. I want to be alive, right? So I was here and I was simultaneously like, wait, but I have this whole other consciousness. What is that? And where is that coming from? And how do I plug into it? And wait, there's a part of me that knows what I need. And wait, it's not just a soul and a body. There's like all this other stuff going on. And it's not even just a spirit, which I knew plenty about. But I was like, there's something that now I call being. Beings are beings and being consciousness. And this kind of anchor of a network of information that it's really part of what I know I'm supposed to talk about on this earth is how we meet that kind of consciousness. And from there, I could look in and say, oh, I get it. Like, this is what my soul is trying to learn. Here's my soul speak. Here's what I'm here for. Here's what I'm going to do to make sense of this reality, whether I live or die. Here's where I'm going to anchor myself. Like, you know, and it's not that I created cancer with my negative thoughts, because that is such a myth that we create things with our negative thoughts. Like, boy, that's just so confusing, you know? Not to say that thinking negatively doesn't have an impact on our health, but like, really, right? And it's not just that, like, it's cancer itself is going to be this great door that opens my life. Like, it could kill me, you know? And I felt like, okay, cancer, it's toxic. And it's both a factor of what we've created and a factor of genetics. And I am a body with this thing. And if it's not my fault and I got to deal with it anyway, what am I going to get out of it? Like, how am I going to get through this? Like, how am I going to make sense? And so, again, most of that became a way that I started to, what I would say, glean for consciousness and understanding and understanding that became the platform for the work that I do. There's so much more to it. But I would say facing life and death and saying to myself very clearly, like, hey, Robert, feel free to find your way in anywhere. That, like, I didn't really... I wanted to understand what healing was from a whole new perspective. You know, I wanted to understand what heals and what doesn't heal. I wanted to be honest. I wanted to work with clients and people and groups of people and say, what if that doesn't heal? Like, I want to be okay with that. You know, like, certain things are not going to change in our lifetime. I wanted to pay attention to how that affects us and still look for how we can find resilience and care for ourselves and wake up every day and take care of other people and feel, you know, love and connection despite all of those things. So that's a long answer. Did I get it? Okay, good. just taking any, just kind of a few people's, like, kind of questions about why you're here so I can speak to the people here and share whatever you are kind of wanting to know. Yeah. So there's a lot more to it. Definitely I came to doing what I'm doing now, like 16 years ago, because people asked. Because they said, whatever you're doing in this session or in these groups, like, is not what I'm getting anywhere else. And I want to understand why the kind of conversation I'm having with you or the kind of these things you're doing called clearings, I want to understand why they're working. And I want to understand how to do them. And I want to figure out how to clear something with not running away from it, you know, and do that as a way of getting in the body, not out of the body, so I can feel the truth of what I really need to work on and find more responsibility for myself. And those were the kinds of questions that got me to teach, really. Yeah. Anybody else have a question or reason you're here?
Well, it's a big theme, trauma. Yeah. Everybody coming in my doors, now trauma's up hugely.
Yeah.
For everyone. So I wanted to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a good question. Chloe and by the way, I work with someone, her name is Chloe Faith Urban. Chloe's an amazing woman. She's the co-director of the La Cara Method with me now. She jumped in a couple of years ago, and we've been reorganizing, rebuilding, rebranding, and she's amazing. And she's not here because she lives in Maine and happens to be in Belize right now. Developed this name called the Triunity, which to me, the triunity is this like three-legged table. Can you imagine a three-legged table? If you pull a leg out, you fall over. It's a three-legged table, which to us represents the conundrum of being a human. It's the problem. It's like, what is the problem of being a human that we're trying to solve, right? And the conundrum of being a human is that there is no one body on this earth that is born without trauma. We inherit it. It's intergenerational. We're born into it. And then we experience it. And it's never going to be that we don't have trauma. Now, we may have some bodies that experience less in their human earth time as a body than others. And we have other bodies that experience way more. Just because we know that traumatizes us. So just that I know that other people are traumatized more than me is going to confuse me. Trauma is a word we can't not talk about anymore in terms of how we live on this earth. And if as healers and people working in the arts of healing, we need to understand that that's just coming with it's just it. What happens is we have then now, look at what's happening in present time, and there's a million reasons to be re-traumatized that are happening every single minute. I mean, the stories are like, and we have so much news and so much communication going on that we know it. So the good news is that I feel like people are kind of ripping the veil off a little bit. The bad news is that we're ripping the veil off of stuff that we can't fix. There's a lot we can't fix, right? It's like, we're not going to fix all that trauma. We can't. It's impossible. And what I see a lot of times is people coming in trying to fix every single trauma in their body as if that's going to be like, there's going to be an end and then boom, we're better. And then we can feel better. And that's chasing a finish line that feels obscene to me. That doesn't mean we don't want to heal trauma, because we do and we need to, and it's important. And I think there's like this kind of dance of how we heal what we can, how we know what's really not ours. We inherited it. We just came with it. And then what we do with that. Right, and that to me is about how we create resilience inside of a traumatized body. We then have another thing we've inherited in this conundrum. So that's one leg. Leg two, just as intense, if not more, is that we all inherited oppression. We, you know, United States of America is built on racism. It's just is it. There's no we, like, we can't not talk about that either anymore. And from my perspective, so much of what we're doing in energy medicine misses the fact that we were like not wanting to talk about trauma. And now we have to, because clients are talking about it left and right, right? But we're also not wanting to talk about the systemic and abusive structures and systems and oppressive dynamics that we all live in, grow up in, experience. some of us more than others. And that there is, even in that, even if I say I'm the most privileged as a white woman, I've had this, I didn't experience oppression like that, maybe sexism, maybe not, I managed it, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go, in fact, this happened to me the other night. I watched something on the TV that stimulated a memory, and I dreamed about lynchings. And I was like, because I know it in my blood, right? Because somewhere my white family may have, in fact, brought their kids to a lynching in a public park like everybody else did on Saturday or Sunday morning. It's like, wow, how is that possible that this is what we have lived here and we've immigrated into? And we've had blessings from that, and we've had curses from that, and it's real. So I'm just, the second leg of the table is that we need to understand that people come with oppressive backgrounds. You know, some people are being abused in their own homes still, you know? Some of that's not fixable either. Like, a lot of that's not fixable. And how do we relate to that, right? So I'm not saying, like, oh, now we got to go down and make every client an it'd be amazing. But no, we don't have to, right? Like, but we do have to understand as practitioners that we're in a pretty jacked up reality right now because, you know, since George Floyd, you know, even before that, but since that moment, I think people also have ripped the Band-Aid off. And sometimes that has made people worse. And we have more racism going on. We have more oppression going on. And sometimes it's made those of us who are fighting for it stronger and bolder and more willing, right? But it's alive. And so the three-legged table, the third leg of that table is what I call spiritual and earth disconnect. And so a lot of us come in and aim, and I think originally I'm like, I want to connect. I want to help everybody connect. But if I help plug you in and connect you and I answer that, solve that problem in isolation from knowing that the other two problems are also existing, I may, in fact, blow the other two problems out. And if I'm so craving spiritual connect, right? You wonder, you're saying, yes, yeah, you get it. Yeah, I mean, this is a big conversation to be having, really, on your, you know, Tuesday night, Monday night. Speaking of which, it's Martin Luther King's. Yes. What an amazing day, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for coming out, honor of all that. But that's, you know, where, like, I sort of wanted to stand in the middle. And what we started saying is, like, okay, if we stand in the middle and we can figure out how to put the platform together, that maybe we can address these dynamics in a way that creates a stronger table, right? And that doesn't mean we're going to solve all those problems. It means we're going to be aware of them. So if I'm going to bring energy medicine in, if I'm going to start doing spiritual work or energetic work into the table, I want to make sure that I'm paying attention to what's happening to the table. And you'll see some clients blow out more. Like, we think we had this great, altered, beautiful session. We've channeled tons of information. You come out feeling wonderful from that session. And then we don't know why. You can't sleep for 3 weeks. And now you're sick with some disease we didn't know you had. And now your leg is, like, falling off. And we're like, Brenna, why can't I walk? You know, I had this great session. I should feel better. Well, because we also stimulated all that other stuff, right? And so if we some of that might be detox. Some of that might just be that we're scared. You know, we're scared and we can't bring in one element without addressing the others. You know, we really get to do that again. And that doesn't mean you need to say, if I'm going to do life coaching for someone, I need to life coach all three arenas. No, I just need to know that they all exist and understand the symptoms of that. And when I can understand the symptoms that somebody's having one of these legs of the table blowout, then I can talk about it. I can say, I don't know if I'm going to be able to fix that, but I can at least hold it for you so that you have more awareness. And also that we understand we're not fixing the table completely, right? Like, we're finding resilience among what we're existing in. And so to me, energy medicine really is kind of the healing balm for all of that. It's, I like to step in with the work that we do and play inside what creates harmony in a disharmonious, traumatized system, right? Like, how do we therefore make progress so we can fire up ultimately the inner knowing of you? Right? Like, I want you to know what to do next. I don't need to know for you. I don't come in and impress you with my ideas. I have plenty of them. And please throw anything out I say as soon as you want to. Like, there's a delete button always there for you. I never need to be right. I'm just sharing my stuff, you know? Like, and to me, that's the most important thing is that you will, I believe in you all. You know, you'll go home and make sense of it based on you. And you'll say, oh, that stirred me up, and that I'm never going to do that. I hated that. And I'm going to say, yay, that's amazing. It worked, right? Like, all I want is for you to know you. Because I think there's a key, you know, like in And it's an interesting world we're in, because in some ways we're so individualized that that's part of the problem. At the same time, we're not listening to the very part of who we are as individuals that might give us the wisdom on how to show up for each other. And I think that wisdom is in there. I think that when we get free inside, liberated for even a moment, the consciousness always reaches to other. Most of us want to be a part of connecting in a way that's safer and kinder. And, you know, there's a lot of people who don't, but anyone who's sitting here does. They usually know that, right? Did I answer?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm making a note about working with the two of you on my leg.
You're like, that leg, is that yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, come to think of it.
Oh, sorry. Sometimes I do that. I didn't mean to. I'm talking about your leg. Other questions? Is somebody else? Does it feel okay to just do this, to go by your questions and let you lead us a little? Is there another? The trauma-informed piece is fun for me because I have so much clinical background, you know, so it actually is kind of fun because it's part of a puzzle I feel like I understand really, really, really well. And having so much clinical background, it just gives me a way to talk about it and a way to, like, palpate even somatically, to be able to say that the way you're shaking in that particular moment, that is something that we know means that there's some trauma that's trying to heal, right? Or stimulate it. So to have, like, all that information is just such a nice thing to have. I really love adding that into the platform. So if you're learning energy medicine, you're not learning it without understanding at least some of the symptoms that might mean that something else is happening. And
what I loved what you said that caught my attention mm-hmm. is being okay with it if it never changes.
Yeah, it might not change. I mean, that was my message, right? Like, it was my message in parenting and whatever my conundrum was when my child was younger, and it was definitely my message in cancer. Like, I didn't know. And I was like, okay, am I going to wait to heal till I figure out if I'm going to live or die? Mm-hmm. Am I going to chase the finish line of saving myself? I mean, that's lovely, but I was making myself insane. I mean, I was not getting better trying to fix myself. And I was, like, chasing everybody's strategy, like, you know, there were, like, this person says eat this way and then you can heal cancer. And this person says if you change those beliefs, you can heal cancer. And this person says you have to do that and I'm going to go in that ceremony or go with those people. And by the time I was done, I'm like, I don't even know who I am. I just know that I'm willing to do anything so I don't die. I'm like, okay, this has got to be, something's wrong. I mean, something's right about it, of course, but something's also wrong about it, right? And it wasn't until I sat down and I was like, ah, okay, I might die. Then what would I do differently? And that was a major moment of consciousness that just barreled through me. It's like, well, how would I live if I was going to die? Like, what am I just not doing that's about me? You know, I have this child. It's like, what would I even be doing? And that was the beginning. I get teary actually saying it now even. Like, that was the beginning of me being like, well, I would serve differently. I would show up and tell you not to fucking fight like that. Like, breathe. Like, I would sit with you and love you up, you know? It's like, I'd find a way to create space for humans to be humans, you know? That was the beginning. I was like, oh my God, I just want to love people. All I really want to do is, like, get love on the earth. Like, where is it? You know, and not, like, love in the ways we qualify it, but, like, just there's something that exists that's so big for us. And that faith I had in humans, like, that if we just were held long enough, we would wake up. You know, it's just, we would. We don't always need the wake-up call to be so scary. And, you know, lately I've been wanting the tagline, like, don't wait for the wake-up call. We're in it already. You know, it's like the more we wait and, like, put it off until that thing happens, the more we're actually, then all that cleanup work of, like, facing death for a lot of us happens, or sicknesses, before we're, it's like, okay, then we'll do it. On behalf of being sick, I'll make all these changes, right? But it's hard to even appreciate those changes when you're sick because you hurt. It's not comfortable and it's not fun to eat all those foods, and, like, maybe you don't need to. And yeah. So yes, what do we do when we or someone we're caring for or where our clients are, like, in a roadblock that may not change? Like, how do we support around that? You know, how do we, because there'll be plenty that doesn't change. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's a good question. Big questions. You all started out like, let's go right for it. Anybody else have a question? Something you've been thinking about yet?
I just want to make sure that. Okay, yes, sorry.
Thank you.
So you talked about watching somebody shake with this trauma. Mm-hmm. And I watch somebody shake regularly mm-hmm. when stuff's brought up.
Yeah.
And it's so much secondary trauma that I witness. And how do I, if one of the parts I want to do is cultivate a practice where I don't absorb so much.
That's it. So inside of the method, it used to be called the Infinity Healing Practice until about 2 weeks ago. We finally changed the name. But inside the La Chiara method, there's like what I needed is seems to be what people like you needed too, is there's like there are structures and tools and practices, everything that's built in, and we start our whole training with people on a retreat first to receive, so that you come and actually learn the practices for self-care before we then start to teach you how to facilitate everybody else. So like it's there are I have channeled through these activations, I've channeled through like body work. You know, components. I added to the body of work something called neural organization technique, which I think is very kindred with network chiropractic, right? And it was from a chiropractor, or Carl Ferrari, long ago, developed practices. And neural organization technique is like sequences that you do, like points in the body that you do in a certain order, almost like acupressure, that when you do them in that order, it fires up a system, right? So for so many of us, like our whole immune system will crash when we're experiencing vicarious trauma, and we do all the time, right? Or our whole, like, our endocrine system, which means our adrenals will start to feel really tired and achy in our kidneys. I don't know if people have some of those symptoms or what. And so these structures have systems that you can learn built in there to be able to boost yourself and, like, kind of reclaim yourself. But there are definitely practices. Yeah, there are definitely practices. Yeah, I'll teach you when you...
That would be exciting.
Well, we can do a couple activations in here and play with those, and I can share that again. Every time I do something that is designed... I mean, we're always doing something that's moving energy. Every one of your awarenesses is... Like, I'm watching the structure of our room change with what people are awaring. You know, it's like, oh, things shift and change just by being conscious. You got a lot lighter looking to me, feeling, just with like, oh, there's a way. Okay, good.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, and maybe you will or won't resonate with my way, but there's a way. Yeah. So if mine doesn't work, you'll find one, because now you're asking, and that's the most important part, right?
That's
exciting.
Yeah,
good. You're welcome. So the you know, we can play with these, what they're called activations, which are like mantras, like words that came through that were designed to use to help shift things in particular ways, and one of them is specifically for clearing the things that are not ours, and what happens when we... And how can we not, you know, as human bodies are conceived in other bodies, like we need each other. We're really not allowed to be a human without a person helping us and or storing us and or forming us, right? So we immediately and instantly know what it means to be empathic because we start that way. We start coming out of the cells, you know, we're like literally formed in the cells of other human beings. So it's an interesting thing to me, I think, like, wow, like, from the second we're conceived, we're already, like, interpreting we're interpreting and calculating and paying attention and migrating, literally, our form around somebody else's body. So we're always going to do that. We're always going to do that. So the idea that we wouldn't pick up someone else's energy, meaning I wouldn't feel your emotions, or I wouldn't feel your pain, or I wouldn't even feel your excitement, is really a grandiose idea. How is that possible? We came this way, you know, in a way we're always looking for that. And so every room we step into, we're feeling and or blocking something that we don't want to feel, and or organizing around something that feels like too much or too little. And that's just always going to happen. And so that's why the practices were so important to me, because when I woke up that one day and also said to myself, right, I can't not be empathic. I mean, hello, not only is it me, but I just can't anyway. And nobody can, really. Some people may or may not, that might not be your calling or your gift to know that thing or work on that thing. And you wonder why you go in the grocery store and come out tired. You felt something, right? It probably wasn't yours. We do it. How do we not do it? Well, we're not going to not do it, just like we're not going to not have trauma. So maybe we learn ways to do it more safely, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. You're going to see people now. You'll be like, oh, that thing you're doing. I know what that is. Yeah. Any other questions? I want to comment. Can I comment to the first thing you said?
Yes, please.
So there is a way to do that, and I think we'll see what it is. You know, like there, because you had said you're already booked to have a conversation about it. But what gets exciting to me when we're in this question, and can I share it again? I don't know if
please.
Everybody was here. Or do you want to share
it
again?
Share
yeah, please.
If you
yeah,
want
please,
to,
please,
if
please.
Want to do it.
I love it.
So I'm named after somebody who was killed in the Holocaust. She saw bad things happen before she was killed.
Yeah.
And then she was carted away and killed. And I was named after her. She was my grandmother's sister. And the weight, I realized I tell her story, and I tell her story just the way I just told the story to you. I sometimes am more specific about it, mm-hmm. about the two terrible things that happened to
right.
her. And then I say she died. And she was 32 years old. She had a whole life, and I didn't really realize that I was holding on to anything as specifically as this question.
Yeah.
What does she want from me?
Mm-hmm.
But when Brenna asked it, the next thing that was out of my mouth was to say, stop telling these only two stories of my whole person.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So first of all, to me, that pop, like Brenna had the energy between you and her clear enough that you had an awareness immediately. That's an aha, right? So those ahas are powerful. When somebody is of no judgment and really just curious, and when we're really just holding space, the ahas do come out. Like our soul does speak, you know? Like, oh, that's, wow, right? So that's amazing that in the context of your healing, even that you could hear that. To me, that means then there's probably some work to do around, you know, why you were holding the other stories and how to hold that and how to clear the energy around those and how to begin to wrap those differently, you know, both emotionally and energetically. Again, a trauma and a oppression and a trauma and that triunity that doesn't go away. And yet there is something else in there because you wouldn't have that knowing, you know, like, and so we then, so just, I wanted to share that because it feels like you're already in that process.
I lost you a little bit. Okay. Did you, because I'm so excited about what you're saying, literally
you.
Just heard nothing you just said.
She's got a recording.
No kidding.
I've been writing down most of what you said.
I can't even
summarize what you just said.
No, it's good. Two things, like
so
two main
much.
Things. One, and I do talk fast because I get so excited.
Yeah,
thank you for asking
that. If you breathe in, I know I get my chance.
Good. Have to breathe in because I breathe out. So, Brenna taught me that. There's got to be a one following. I know it's there somewhere. Two things. One is that the session you had with Brenna and your awareness to ask that open-ended question. And my guess is that you asked it without needing an answer.
Sorry, I was in the bathroom.
Oh, sorry.
You asked me, what does she want?
Oh, yeah.
Right. So you're knowing to ask a question that would be that open-ended mm-hmm. and clear and spacious clears energy. Just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you're able to have what we call an aha, mm-hmm. or what I call a soul speak moment, which is like your soul said, ah, I know what she needs. She needs me to stop telling these two stories as the only story of her life, right? Now you have another question. How do I do that? And so, and that's a beautiful question. So how, right? And that'll be the question we investigate together. But I just wanted to use it as framework because it's so when we are willing to pay attention to not only the energy, but what we bring to that energy, we make a lot of room for people to have major awarenesses in split seconds. Mm. That's because that triunity in your body was being taken care of, meaning Brenna was safe for you, safe enough. You know, we're ever perfectly safe, but like safe enough. Didn't oppress her with your point of view. You didn't tell her what she had to do. You didn't just give her, you know, shove something down her throat and say, well, that's terrible. I can't believe you're doing that or whatever. Nothing got in there. And you were also clear enough, right? So we start to then see, then you ask a dynamic spiritual question, really, that then pops our aha. That's the magic, and that's part of the method, is, you know, really creating those containers over and over and over again to be able to inspire an aha and then another aha, you know? Some of us will have, sometimes it inspires for me, like a download, which is, you know, I'll have information for you. Sometimes I don't need to do that. It depends upon the person, right? Is that making sense? I just wanted to use it as an example. Did you get it?
I got it more than I got it the first time.
Yeah. And it is recorded, so you'll get it again if you want. And I'll see you.
So I'm Felice, and I've studied with Gabrielle. I was for 4 years formally and have been around Infinity, now the La Chiara method, although it's morphed in for the past 7 years. And the reason that I came here tonight is the language and the information and the modality and the tools ignite, like my cells just love bathing in it because it ignites and those pops, those ahas, those even being in it for it's like they just, my cells just, it's not that they can't get enough.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so enlivening in the practices and the holistic kind of, I don't want to say approach, but the holistic nature of the tools and the practices on all levels, physically, emotionally, energetically, mentally, spiritually, genetically, all of the ways that and how a human organism and an energy field functions and moves through the world and is of the world and is all of those bodies that I mentioned. So it's been really profound.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Your first question was, what brought you here tonight? The short answer is Instagram.
Instagram worked. That's amazing.
That's interesting. But as I was listening to you, I had two questions for him. The first question is about, you mentioned resilience a while ago, and I'm curious to know how you, what's your understanding, how would you explain how resilience is developed?
Yeah.
That's my first question. My second question is,
love that.
Is there anything that feels like a risk or liability for you walking around with these particular gifts that you have?
I think I always feel at risk with these gifts.
Yeah.
I think that's just a fact. Like, I think I decided at some point that I can't let it stop me. I would say what I decided even more than that, and this is a quality of resilience for me, which is like, just because I have them doesn't mean they're on or off. Like, I actually have choice. And what I wanted to develop and culture in myself was the ability to read the moment I was in enough to know when to close them down and when to open them up, you know? And so it's not like I'm just going to be an open book everywhere I go and walk and take everything in all the time and just be kind of saturated and therefore like trashed by the world and or like expose myself places I shouldn't expose myself, you know? And it was almost like, am I willing to redefine safety? Am I willing to know when I'm not safe? And these were big questions for me. It's like, am I willing to know where not to be parts of myself? And you know, I work in educational systems. I work across the country. I work in different communities. I've worked throughout like the kind of Bible Belt of America in school systems throughout California. I worked in Hawaii. You know, it's like, I'm really different everywhere I go. And yet I'm always this, like I'm me. And that was, like, I think, a big dance. And again, to me, I became my own kind of model inside myself. It's like, okay, you can build resilience, so let's try. And to me, the resilience building is like being able to be more aware. I think it's a huge factor. It's like, am I willing to be more aware? Am I willing to know my limits? Am I willing to know what I can't handle and say no if I need to? You know, I remember the first few people that I was like, I don't think you should be in my training because I don't know if I can do it. And that's not about you. Like, what you're asking me to do is actually even okay. Like, I don't think I have it. I don't think I have the skills for that. And that was really daunting because, you know, you want to say yes to everybody and I want to think I can do it all. But to me, the resilience building has been about humility, about accountability. It's been about having peer support in the community. It's been inside the practices and inside the method we have trainers who are accountable to each other. So there's like peer supports built in. So it's been about like, how do we create a plan for accountability and see where our checks and systems are going to be? To me, that builds resilience. It's like just being able to be accountable and say, great, I want to take on this practice, but I don't want to do it in isolation. I think we need each other. We can't just go out there and run free and not want the feedback if something is like harmful somewhere. And So like, you know, kind of resilience and accountability go together for me in a big way. And so, yeah, I think what I asked myself is, if I'm going to take these risks, what do I need as a body and what can I help you as bodies? And I'm always, the reason she said it changes is because every group of people that comes in, I learn something else. I'm like, oh, wow, you need that? Maybe other people need that. Let's do that. You know, like Brenna, wow, I never knew. Okay, I think we're missing something. Let's create this thing for that. And maybe, and now I'm creating a whole new protocol to heal the RNA in our bodies because of what we're facing with COVID and vaccines and everything else, right? So, like, that to me is part of the picture, and it's part of how we hold and help and support one another. I think resilience building is patience, you know, and it's that, like, what I need to know what I can't heal. And I need to me, I think the performative cultures and the places where we gaslight our clients by mistake or we try to pretend you can heal everything, it's like we're not building resilience, we're making ourselves delusional, really, because we're confusing ourselves. And that people are doing that on purpose. You're not trying to hurt your clients, you know. It's just indoctrinated. Like, it's what we think we're supposed to do to help, which is like, I always want to tell you the next nice thing, versus like, whoa, that might not go away. What are we going to do? And the other thing I think really builds resilience is kindness. And it's like relationships. It builds so much resilience to have a relationship with someone who's not judging you. And if they are, they're going to go take it someplace and work on it. You know, like, not that we don't have those things come up, but again, the systems for accountability. And we use each other for supervision in our own ways. And we have other people doing that, and other people built in. And the peer, would you say too, I don't know how much you tap into the greater peer community. I guess you have, because you work with other trainers and stuff like that who might practice or gift or share. Do you feel like that's a support for you in terms of helping each other stay on track?
I don't know that I understand your question.
Yeah. I don't know that I asked it very well.
Yeah.
Do you think the community of, like, Infinity's community, Black Kiara community, like, of other trainers who are also practicing, is it helpful to you to have those people who have the same language and the same model and who are, like, working together?
Yeah.
Right. So you can, like, support each other and not just come to, like, one person at the top for information, but have the parallel. I think I answered, like, 6 questions in one. Did I get it?
Thank you.
Did it make sense? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Resilience building to me is so critical, and I know it's also a buzzword in our culture, but so I don't mean to buzz the word up more, but I think it is, I think that it's been true for me since the beginning, because I kept on the radar of, like, holding that people don't need to reach an end goal in order to be considered healed. You know, and it's like, we don't have to have an agenda, and practitioners don't need to come in and, like, try to fix something in order to prove to you that you've healed something. Like, that's not what it's about. It's like, how do we hold space, and again, culture an environment where you can have your own choices and awarenesses and decisions that you're going to have to make, that you live with, that are not because we as practitioners tell you what to do, or hierarchy over, or again, try to fix something that maybe isn't our job to fix, you know. We put the roadmaps in. I mean, network is like, you're amazing at creating, like, these roadmaps in the body, you know, energetically giving the body awareness of what it could choose, right?
It's so interesting because the structure of learning network is very much a hierarchy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
And practitioners get kicked out of once they come into their soul speak.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, seminars and like, the
oh, that's
the
so curious, because you're so not that.
Yeah, it's really gross.
Yeah.
It's a gross system.
Yeah. And it's a system.
And it's so, there's so many gifts in it, but, like,
yeah.
At some point, anybody who is facilitating teaching under him, like, there is a breach of contract. They all have contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Written contracts. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're not doing that.
Yeah. On purpose. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I really, really, that has been so much of, like, how do I model a training which gives people certifications and not control people with it and or put dogma over you, and at the same time, how do I give you supervision that actually works so that we know that you're getting the support you need to be the amazing you that you already are. And we have people who are already, like you, already super gifted and working in a field, and we have people that know nothing. Like, we probably have someone in this training who works computer science who's like, I want to be a life coach for people to learn more computer science. I'm like, great, you still need the skill, right? So like not falling into these hierarchical structures. Yeah. And I'm sure it happens. I mean, I don't know how it doesn't happen. Like, it's always what it is. Like, somebody's going to pay me money. There's already a hierarchy, you know? We have to work with it. But again, that's the part. Like, can we know what we're doing and pay attention to what it creates and do our best amongst some things that are confusing out there? Yeah. Amongst this triunity, really. Plug ourselves back in. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I don't think I realized that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't feel great to slander the work because it's also so powerful.
I think that's the conundrum in our culture, though. There are pretty, like, amazing teachers with incredible wisdom, spiritual teachers, yogic teachers, masters of like, so brilliant and channeling amazing bodies of knowledge. And then they're using them inside systems that are still abusive. Yeah, and this is happening all over the place. It's being outed all over the place. And I think one of my deeper kind of loves and excitements is to decolonize healing work. You know, that's why I want the conversation to be in here. It's like, I really want it to change. I want to rescue it from, you know, every other structure everything has been put in and see if we can wake ourselves up and say, no, we don't have to do it that way. We can do something else. So those are just some kind of deeper cravings for me in the work.
What's the difference between your infinity brand and your LaCar brand, and what's your mission statement?
Thank you. Infinity is, we used to be something called Consciousness Awakens when I first started, and then about like 4 years in, we changed it to the Infinity Healing Practice, which was like the modality, and the modality is a huge modality that has everything from body work techniques to energy medicine techniques to, you know, genetic repatterning to spiritual ceremonies. It has everything in it. So Infinity Healing became this overarching, very amorphous body of knowledge. And because I was basically like, come train, I gave you everything, everybody that came and got everything, you know, like every single person. And so what happened is it's just huge. Like, there are so many, like at the flow chart, and there's so many layers to it. What we started to feel is, just like the body of knowledge, the name Infinity is just so amorphous that nobody knew what they're talking about. So like, if you ask people what's Infinity, everybody's like, oh, it's a healing thing you do, it's great, let's go, you should come, you know, like, and we couldn't quite land it. It wasn't rooted enough. So the intention of La Chiara, my last name is La Chiara. The intention was to reroute myself and the work and say, okay, this came from a place called my life, and to begin to create structures and stability amongst the structures, which put the parts and pieces into more categories and mapped them better. So now we have a life coach training that is not about body work. It's about life coaches that have self-care built in, that have tools for self-care, that will have some hands-on work for yourself, but that the structure is how we coach others, you know, how we create platforms where we can do life coaching amongst people anywhere we want, however deep or whatever we want to mix that with. We will then have a training, a 9-day training in the fall that's bodywork heavy. So it's all bodywork components in person, dive in, and we go beginning to end. It'll be a prerequisite to know the material first, but then you'll come in and learn how to do this work on bodies in a way that you can safely develop a practice for yourself on how you actually work with bodies on a massage table, clothing on, but through the energetic field, you know, and with the neural organizational structures and the techniques and the bodywork processes that are a little different than just the life coaching processes of like how we hold space and inquiry and presence and guide people through a process and map what's going on for them. So the La Chiara method is intention is really like my overarching intention is to decolonize healing work and to really bring this triunity into consciousness amongst those of us out here who are wanting to bring more healing to the world, and therefore to create more and more opportunities for people like you, like anybody, to thrive using it, whether it's for yourself or other people, but to actually, you know, wake us up safely. You know, wake our gifts up safely as possible, knowing that it's not perfect. You know, the submissions are like, you know, can we create enough social movement that we start to actually heal this planet? Can we create enough social movement that we can break apart oppression on a whole nother level? Can we like ally up with other people? We have like indigenous people, and we have really powerful connectors in the societies around me that have paralleled with us and held with us. And can we like reach in and become a part of other social movements that are happening? And can we hand in hand and make a bigger movement towards change on the planet somehow? You know, so like what healing is possible becomes the question we're asking all the time. Yeah. Yeah. But so you'll see in Lucky Hour Method something you didn't see in Infinity, which is a much more like organized, mapped out structure for places for people to enter and to be able to like take a part to themselves and not have to try to take the whole thing on. And for people who might want more of like the ceremonies and the work that comes once you hit major spiritual evolutionary changes, that'll just be like part three, you know? You get all those other parts and then we go and do the rituals together and go into the ceremonies together. Did that help? Yeah. But it's still me, you know, it's like we're rebranding all these ways to figure out how to show up for what the planet is asking now, you know, and for all those years that seemed to be what I was being asked to do in the last couple of years, it's like, no, it's got to get more specific in what we're tagging and the work that we're doing and how. Yeah. Any other questions? I have like the urge to talk a little bit about the being consciousness for a minute, just because I think there's this thing happening. So in the grand scale, I'm saying like, if you want to go to the all the way through with us, you'll do this work, which is really like midwifery and doula work of our souls. And to me, that's like really there's this other thing happening at the same time that I think we need enough structures, day to day structures, and in place to be able to even have these conversations, but somehow I'm feeling inspired to just dive in. Is that
well done? Do it. Yeah.
You've been at a ritual, so you're like, do it for sure.
Yeah.
When I went through my mastectomy and the surgery that I had around cancer, I really, I knew something happened, but I didn't know what it was, but I went in basically surrendering my life to God and came out being like, wait, what happened? I'm totally different. Like, I felt like I was seeing through different eyes, feeling through a different body. I was still myself. I could feel my soul resonance. I knew I didn't have one of these, like, a walk-in, something just came in and took me over, or these things that we, you know, there's names for in a lot of spiritual practices, but something changed, and it took me a long time to figure it out because I was still in so much trauma. But many, 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 many months later, I actually felt what I was experiencing, and here's how it maps for me. And again, please, if I say something that doesn't resonate, just like have your delete button close by, okay? If you want to install it, feel free. If you don't worry. I started to see that we have, that from my perspective, there's four parts to embodiment. There's a body, which is like this dense thing that, again, we never really get on. It's always going to have a conundrum. It's just a body. It's going to have our triunity. It will have trauma and oppression and everything else, and if not me, someone's disconnected from this earth, right? If you know, so there we are. Then we do have what people call spirit, and to me, spirit is like flavor, like the bursting essence, the quality. It's like what lights us up. It's even what gives us personality, really. Like spirit, you can live without a spirit. Really, you might be very uncomfortable, but you could live without one. You can't be a human without a body, but you can still be alive. You just won't be a human, right? You can be a human without a spirit. So that was interesting to me, and what I was watching, I was like, oh, right, and spirits could get lost, and still a human would be on the earth living. What's keeping them alive, right? So I assumed a soul, and I saw this soul, and I could see like a river, like the soul being like this river. I was like, oh, there's like a soul thread. That's such a timeless river, and oh, right, that's where we arc for karma. You know, that's like, oh, the shit we came in with, the shit we go out with, like why we pick these families, how we make sense of this world and this life, like why I'm even here would be inside that soul. And still I was like, yeah, but that feels like something's missing. And then I saw, it was like this beautiful, like seeing a sunlit orb. And I saw what I called a being and had since called beings, you know, which I was like, oh, the soul. And so it just felt this sense that like a soul picks a being, and that being becomes the consciousness. It becomes the glue between the soul and the body. And that being, therefore, becomes that thing that is like timelessly searching and seeking and giving us the information about why we're alive. So it situates like a question almost, like every body comes in with a question, like what I'm here to seek. From my perspective, it feels like I'm like, can I love? You know, am I okay? Like, will we survive? You know, we come in with these big questions that we then live for, and we gain information and understanding, and this very experience will have very different interpretations of the experience, because your souls will want to learn something unique to you, right? And even if you agree on the same thing, it'll feel different to you. So I was like, oh, that's being. That's this energy that we live in. And the being basically forms the body. So what I started to see is that there's a soul thread with a being as this orb that then forms a body. And the body is formed inside of that being, and in which case we're a tiny. This body's a little. You know, even if we weigh 300 pounds, we're a little. We're little compared to like this infinite resource of a being, hence infinity is our first name. So I was like, yes, it's an infinite resource. And that being's consciousness is vibrating on behalf of me. It's like the best parent you could ever have. Like, wow, inside of my ahas, inside of where I get inspiration, inside of where I plug into wisdom, that's my soul communicating through this being consciousness into my body. I was like, whoa, okay. When that lights up really well, often we get very spirited. You know, we end up having these experiences that feel so spiritually alive, spirited alive. Beings. So what I guess I did in that mastectomy is I changed my being. My soul actually said, okay, you're done with your whole first rendition of life. You're full. Yep, your full karmic responsibility is over. You've answered the question enough times. It won't be perfect. But you no longer need to exist for that reason. And in fact, actually, the message I got is that we're living way longer than we used to. Like, if bodies only live till 30 or 40, good. One being is plenty. You're done. You finished your pact. You know, it's over. Contract complete. If we're trying to stay till we're 100, we've obsolete. We've, like, finished our first purpose long ago, and we actually need to move on. And the gift being that if we can begin our next incarnations in the same body, we actually can progress, because we don't have to start as babies again. We can progress and evolve the planet in a whole different kind of way. We have prefrontal cortex and pituitary matter and, like, you know, everything showing that we're able to progress beyond where we've been before, and how to do that safely, and then how do we work these bodies. And so I actually, that whole orb of the being became a guide for me. And the guide that I had been anchoring in for all that time actually became my core being, and therefore my resource for life. My soul stayed the same. So it wasn't like I killed myself, you know, and came back, even though I thought I was dying. And now I understand why I thought I was dying, because I really was facing a choice that my soul could make to either live or die. And if I was going to live, something really was, according to like a human experience, dying. My being was leaving the body. It wasn't going to stay. What I didn't have any idea about was that I was bringing something else in. And so being changes are happening, and I feel like they're happening with or without me. Like, sometimes people will go have these spiritual experiences and come back so different. They don't just happen like, oops, I tripped and I got a being. You know, your being is the nucleus and the life force of your entire body. So usually what I started to see is that we're more often happening in trauma, major trauma, like major car accidents, go unconscious, boom, something's happening and we're like, what's going on? Or life and death situations, or somebody dies and you're close to the person dying, and then that death therefore stimulates a change that your soul decides to make. And that soul was already wanting to make, and just looking for an opportunity for the body to get dismantled enough to be able to choose that. So one of the bodies of work that I do, that I bring in, that became part of infinity and part of this bigger structure, and again, we were just doing it all inside one thing all the time, was that these being change rituals and ceremonies, and really looking and trying to feel for when people need them and when it's safe, and how to do them safely, and how to do them long before we need a crisis, you know, so that that we can actually make these changes consciously. That and again, we just offer, like, the rituals just offer a pathway, like you offer pathways, like I offer pathways energetically. You take it or don't take it. That's between you and your soul, you know. But if we show the pathway, we're finding that it's lighting up. So people are having these beautiful changes and stepping into their progressions. What we've learned since then is that there's even astrology to support it, and people started to find that their astrological charts were showing times when they were either going to die or completely take a new mission on. And so we were even seeing other bodies of knowledge that really support that this is what humans are doing at this time. And so it's pretty fascinating and amazing. And that becomes like a bigger part of the mission, which is, can we help people find who they are meant to be now? You know, and not to run around trying to change beings as my mission, but just, we're here. If it's happening, we want to make it as possible and safe as we can to support one another. Or if it's already happened, to help you make sense of that so you can, you know, finish the cleanup work of that original being and then be able to step into your embodiment. So that's a big, kind of heavy piece of material, but I feel like I want to share it because I think it speaks to what's changing anyway on this earth. Like, we are living longer and we want to, and we're facing major, I mean, I feel like the whole earth is changing its being with this pandemic crisis we've been in and war and everything else again, right? And I think that there's an invitation really to take our next steps and to make peace with who we were born as, you know, so that we can make peace with that. It doesn't go away. We'll still have memories and hardship come up, but it doesn't have to be the reason we're living anymore to like fix our childhoods, right? Mm-hmm. We'll do that first piece of work. So am I making sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there questions?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to say something?
It's really cool to hear how something that can feel so nebulous and existential can be distilled down in a way, like you just said it, like very quickly, which I appreciate and resonate with because I tend to be very fast in my energy. Mm-hmm. You distilled it down in a really accessible way. Okay. And it's what I experienced seeing my friend go through her being changed with you.
Yeah.
And then from that, you know, that was what, 3.5 years ago, the people, you know, you had Jana there,
mm-hmm.
and she's now in my life
mm-hmm.
in a different way.
Cool.
And Brenna, like just the threads of the connections that have happened from her being changed to like all of the, like the six Felice, like just the different people. And I say it's like the valley because I'm from Boston. So coming here, it just seems like everyone is just integrated in a way that I've never experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And I think partially it's because of the healing that you and and amazing people bring to this community that I found. But the ripple effects of it how I feel in it, just being around it, Felice, like you said, is like, whoo, I want to tap into this in an expansive way to have it ripple in bigger, bigger ways.
I have the whole body shivers. Mm-hmm. That's one of those. That's a whole body shivers in a way that's not the shakes. I'm having trauma, that's the shivers, like it's exciting. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful.
Do you find that everybody's process is different in that? So where one person might take, I don't know, 2 years to go through it, somebody else is doing it quicker or longer or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, we have people who like flip their switches who have been waiting and they get to me and it's like, that's what we're doing. My first day, I've never met you before, but we better go, you know.
That was my
I didn't want to say it, but in a breath.
My first session was being changed.
Yeah. It was so powerful. Brenna sat down and I was like, I hate to say this and really it's okay if we don't do it. And you're like, yes, we need to do this. And it was huge, right? And then you have, I don't know if you want to share anything at all. Just your witness and experience of this community, you know, the people around that you've seen or your own experiences.
What really resonates for me is the, first of all, it's really powerful to be witnessed and supported in that. Because there's people could think they're kind of going nuts or like, what's this? And then people live according to the old self that's now a new self that it's much more expansive. And I think for me, this you said it on Sarah's podcast and you just referenced it now is the wake-up call before the wake-up call. And for me, I had like a dramatic wake-up call, support with a being change and the understanding and the accessibility of the body being spirit soul of that awareness. I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's just it feels very spacious and expansive and being able to come in more alignment with who we truly are. And recognizing when the chatter comes or recognizing still what's there.
Yeah.
Yet it's a more embodied way, actually, of being in the world. And also it's this, I know this is off on a tangent, but you know it's energy medicine. When you hear that, it could be super amorphous. And then it's like the groundedness and the, and the, for people who, like scientific data, it's all there. You know, it's like bridges all of it. I think my words might be done.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, if people have come to us that have had trauma and that we can see that that's what happened and we're trying to clean up, you know, people who actively just had a major, like, accident or surgery or someone died unexpectedly near them, and people come who I will slow them down. And I will say I've slowed a lot of people down in the years. I've decided to be like, wait, let's do this differently. I mean, there are just, like, unique people like you who are so ready and had been doing so much of your own work beforehand, but I'm like, okay, let's not cause crises, you know, and especially in this backdrop of the pandemic, I've been like, whoa, 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 let's not just make more things to be scared about. You know, let's, like, there's no rush. Let's just make sure. And let's get, like, it is, your still soul is still right there having the conversation with us. We're not flipping your switches out in some way that we don't need to. And we definitely don't need to scare people in any way at all. So it's been a really beautiful process of discovery. And so there's that, you know, in the mapping of the work, there's this other huge part of the work that goes on. And for me, feels like that's my kind of God gift. I don't, like, charge for them, and they're just, you know, ceremonies, and people donate sometimes to other causes or whatever. I just feel very much like that's the sacred element of where spiritual alignment is so important to me, and then there's all the other pieces of work that go on to get us ready, and I feel like there's this scaffolding and structure that the tools provide and that the method is intended for to help us you know, get comfortable in ourselves as much as we can to know who we are so that we know what we need. Yeah.
Also, there's the primal brain work and the nervous system work and the
there's so much, right?
What comes in there with, like you mentioned, even the inquiry, right? Asking the question and what that does to the brain when it like bypasses, I don't mean a my words are just
done. That's okay. Thank you. You're just feeling all the different layers to the work. There's so much to the actual body of work that goes on. Like, we work inside the survival brain, and we work inside your immune systems, and, you know, it's all this stuff that goes on, but we don't have to dive too far in there. Mm-hmm. Any other questions, Pat Peel? Any other burning questions or comments or things that are resonating? A juicy conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. So what I think we're going to find as we launch into the coaching, which we have a lot of people that have been just doing coaching, but as we launch more and more into, like, really creating coaches in this model, is that we're going to start to see, wow, what I'm doing is actually hand-holding someone, sometimes for a couple of years while they're making huge changes, and how do we keep their energy field clear? How do we stay clear with them? How do we keep them on point? How do we keep their ahas in place so that they can keep feeling and paying attention to their aware selves? And, you know, I often think I would just want to liberate consciousness. You know, it's like, it's right there. I just want to liberate it so that we have access to more consciousness that I think is already there to begin with. And just, like, opening our ability to tap into that without having to, again, jolt out of our bodies, but using our bodies, being in them to get that consciousness. Because sometimes they'll just be in pain to try to talk to us, you know, and then we listen and they stop being in pain, so... Any other questions, comments, feedback? Yeah.
Well, I was part of your first training, so I know a very small piece of the work, but I'll just say that the community is very powerful. Mm-hmm. And to this day, like, two of my best friends came from that community, and it's provided not only the environment to connect with one another in very deep ways that sometimes you can't even connect with your best friends with, because it just, these tools allow you to go that deep, but also like-minded people in that ocean you're swimming in of a resonant good vibe, where energies come up and weird things come up, but with the tools you can clear them and get to the next place that works well for the group. So
thank you.
Very collaborative process.
Thank you. Yeah. I know, I really love that. There are so many, I have so many text threads from all the different years of groups where people still stay together. They're not even in training anymore. I mean, I always say once you're in, you're in. Like, you're all in already, so don't worry. Like, there's not really an in or out button, you know, but like, people will stay connected that way to reach in and be like, I think I need help, or I think I need a clearing, or I think I need a blessing, or someone's going, you know, it's like, it's so beautiful to see. That's a big dream of mine, too, in the big, big vision, is that we just have each other. Like, we get more people that we can rely on when we're uncomfortable, and it's not, like, just of the same structures we usually go to, but we actually get to dive in a little more deeply that way and intimately. We used to laugh in the first 3 or 4 years. I remember one of the trainers' parents offered their house up in Vermont for us to go do a retreat at. And like the day we were going, this was our friend Sharon. Sharon's mother called her and she said, "I'm feeling a little bit weird. Who are these people anyway?" And she's like, "Oh yeah, it's just, they're my deepest, closest people ever. I just love them so much." She's like, "No, but what are their names?" And she's like, "Well, it's Gabrielle. Well, what's her last name?" She's like, "Huh, I don't know if I know. Well, where does she live?" I'm like, "Oh, I think they're from all, I kind of, Mom, they're amazing. They're like my closest people ever." And she's like, "I can't give you any information. Like, I don't know if they have children or they have jobs." She's like, "I think they do. Like, and, you know, unless it came up in a healing process, we don't know. Or we're not remembering you that way because we're not looking at each other and remembering you by the typical social grid." But we were all cracking. We got up there. We're like, "Oh my God, your poor parents. You're like, what is going on? You just invited 16 people that are nameless, you know, to spend the weekend in their house, you know, like, and hope we're doing something safe.
And hope they leave."
And hope they leave, right? Hope you just didn't, like, take them on. They have no homes and families. Yeah. Thank you. Well, let's maybe do anything else? Maybe available? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's just stretching. I'm sorry.
It's good. Anybody have a question or comment? Yeah. Thank you. So if you're coming for a session could look like we just sit across from each other and go on a journey, and a session could look like table time, because there are structures for body work to help the body process if you need to. And so we could explore, or we could support, or we could get information. It'll really depend upon what your body needs and what you want. And some people come and say, "I just think I really want to be on a table," and other people are just in for the ride. We might be on Zoom, whatever, but a phone. And again, mostly I came here because I felt like you had people asking questions, and I wanted to help you be able to answer some of those questions too, and just sort of bridge that gap in the bodies of power. So. Let's do a couple activations to clear the room, just so, even though it is clearing, even by being here, but just so you can feel them, and then just offer that to you as a gift. And the language is strong, like, well, I use the word command on purpose. It's like, again, in the decolonizing work, it's also like remembering where we can have agency, and we can have agency in our energy field. It's nobody else's business what I choose to clear or keep, you know, inside myself or even emotionally, right? Sometimes I can't shift something, but if I can... So the language gets strong in that it commands, and it commands our bodies and beings. And really, I want to really look at what's really what's not ours in here, like what we don't have to carry or process or think about that we've been maybe dredging along for a while that we don't need. So let's command our bodies and beings, each of us, to release anything that's really not ours, anything we dragged up on the way by, drove past, thought about, other people that are entering, other people's opinions or thoughts or the ways we're carrying around our beloveds and our bodies and our feet, our clients, whatever that might be, animals, earth. And so let's command our bodies and beings to release everything that's not ours and to gift it. And we send it to this vibrational source of consciousness, which is that consciousness of your own being that knows where to put it. So we don't need to send it back at people. I don't even know, like, matters where it came from. Sometimes those awarenesses are helpful, sometimes they're not. But that we can just gift it back and say, "No, it's not mine." When we hold energy that doesn't belong to us, we can't heal it. And it stays, and it stays, and we work, and we work. When we hold energy that's not ours, and we hold it intimately enough, no one else can heal it either, because we have it. So there's no reason to carry things that don't belong to us. So we're commanding our bodies and beings to release everything that is not ours, and to gift it to the vibrational source of consciousness. And then we activate change. We activate our awareness of change. We generate, we promote healing. And not yesterday and not tomorrow, but immediately. Good. I'm going to do it again, and we'll all take a big breath at the end together. So commanding our bodies and beings and just letting yourself feel your body to say, "Right, am I carrying anything that's not mine that I don't need anymore today?" Commanding our bodies and beings to release everything that's not ours and gift it to the vibrational source of consciousness. Activate change and generate healing. And immediately breathe in, and then exhale fully. And let's do it again. Let's command our bodies and beings to really believe it, to know it, to try it out. Why not? We can take it back if we want it. Like, I'm not forcing you. Let it go for a minute. See if it works. Take it back. let's command our bodies and beings to release everything that's really not ours. The stuff that we actually can't heal because we have it, and the stuff that they can't heal because we have it. So let's just command that we get to know what's ours and what's not. And that is actually for the benefit of really knowing what's ours. So that when we get in there to do the work we're doing, what's required to be healthy, vital, safe, strong, resilient, and to show up for this earth, ourselves and others. And so we command our bodies and beings to release everything that's not ours. And we gift it to the vibrational source of consciousness. Activate change and generate healing immediately. Take a breath in and exhale fully. Oh, that felt better. Yeah. Okay, I'll do it one more time. I feel a shift. So let's command our bodies and beings to know that we can actually be this amazing with ourselves, and that we can gift ourselves a moment of freedom to choose what energy is and isn't ours, and to know what's not ours. Why not? And let's know that if something stayed, even if we think it's not ours, that that's okay too. That's just our bodies knowing what's safe to let go of. And we command our bodies and beings to release anything that's not ours, and we gift it to the vibrational source of consciousness. Activate change and generate healing. And good. Full breath cycle. Good. And just feel, be you. And take a moment to just thank yourself for showing up for whatever this brings to you. Whatever awarenesses inspire, whatever you decide to live or let go of, what resonates and what doesn't. It's your own soul speak journey. And simultaneously thank yourself for showing up for others in the room, because your energy does make a difference. It is here, it is felt. And that's a good thing. And let's remember that we are tiny little bodies, no matter how big we are, in the center of infinite beings, each of our own. And that it is inside the network of the being that we're never alone, even as the body might be. And in the network of that being, we can receive information, guidance, awarenesses, perceptions, support that allows us to be the bodies we are on Earth. And activate change and generate healing. Immediately, again, feel free to take a full breath in. And then exhale. Thank you all for coming. You can open your eyes. Thank each other, please. We don't have community. Thank you so much. I so appreciate being here. Just shut this up.